Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm Lori Leiker. I'm a small business coach and I help with everything from strategic planning to process improvement, things like that. But most of all, I just help make your great business better. Today our guest is Eric Thies. You may have seen him on QVC. You may have also seen him on some of his infomercials, but Eric brings a wealth of knowledge and information about product development more than anything and how to get your product noticed. So welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you. Good to be here.
How long, you're associated with QVC. How long have you been working with them?
Wow, it's almost, I guess it started about 1999. So it's been a long run. They still let me in the door.
Yeah,
so.
But that's a great thing. That's a great thing because I've been watching QVC since 1988. So you're still new.
Yes.
At least
they
as
tell
far
me that
as
all
they
the
go.
Time.
In terms of product development, though, you started out as a chef, correct?
Yes. I started out as a chef. I worked in a bunch of restaurants in New Jersey, and then I got lucky enough to open my own restaurant. I just happened to open it up near QVC, and I knew my mom had watched QVC at the time, but I didn't really know much about it. But a lot of the folks that worked there, a lot of the show hosts, and pretty much everybody, because it was local, we met a lot of people from QVC, and after the restaurant closed, I was very intrigued. I wasn't necessarily thinking about product development at the time, but as I worked my way into QVC, that sort of became my early niche and kind of how I got onto TV and everything else that I've been doing. So it sort of was the catalyst.
So obviously getting into product development is not a natural progression unless you're in a circumstance like you were in. What was it that intrigued you most about getting into bringing products to market?
Well, I think the way it happened for me was that I figured out from my old pastry chef, whose sister happened to work at QVC, she told me that a very prominent cookware company was looking for a chef with business experience to help them with their QVC business. All aspects from product development to on-air development of prettier presentations and just staying on trend. So I flew out to California, interviewed with that company, and it turned out to be a great fit. So when I first started, I was very specific to this company, and they're one of the largest cookware companies in the world. And the more I learned about the cookware business, the more my chef skills sort of came into play. And then what happened was I just started coming up with, you know, ideas here and there. And before you know it, I was not only working with them, but I was working with several other factories. And, you know, the creativity just kind of comes along with it, sort of like creating a dish in your restaurant. Believe it or not, my restaurant experience was a little more of a hindrance than I thought at first because, you know, I thought like a chef instead of thinking like a home cook. And as time went on, I think that I realized that and having a family of my own and, you know, just the way life progresses, I got better and better at it, and luckily I've been doing it for a very long time and still enjoy it.
Right now, how many products are you bringing to market through QVC?
Well, we bring in a lot, quite honestly, right off the top of my head. I don't have the number, but over the years it's been probably several hundred. In order to keep QVC running, they need, well, I don't know if this number's changed recently, but it's over 20,000 new items a year. So feeding
Which
the
makes
machine
sense
is what we
because
like to call
that's
it.
About what a place that's about what a place like Walmart has to do, and QVC is as big, if not bigger, in terms of reach than Walmart since they're worldwide.
Yeah, I mean QVC. I believe the last time I checked, they were about $10 billion all in, and they do have an amazing reach. So even though people tune in to see very specific things, they still have a mass approach to a lot of the product, and especially in the kitchen where I'm mostly focused. You know, we have sometimes 10, sometimes 20, sometimes 30 products working at any given time. Whether it's private branded or, you know, other products that we're bringing in of name brand.
So when you look at products, because now you're out of the kitchen, you're working specifically with manufacturers and distributors in Asia and in other countries, what is it that you look for when you're looking for a product? What hits you first?
Well, I think when I'm thinking about QVC, I'm always thinking about, you know, the visual sale. So a lot of times people will show us products that are very nice and very interesting, but it doesn't have any television appeal, or maybe it doesn't even have that mass appeal. So that's really what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a product that a presenter, whether it be me or someone else, could tell a story and make people want to pick up the phone. I mean, it's simple in a way. You know, you kind of try to drum it down. So, you know, we looked at these very utilitarian silicone bowls back in the day. And we said, hey, you know, is there any way that we could make those collapse? The biggest problem we found with bowls is to be people have trouble storing them because they don't always nest properly. So we worked with a silicone company and we came up with collapsible bowls. And it just resonated. So we could never sell a bowl on QVC, but if you make the bowl out of silicone and then you make it collapse, wow, now you can bake in it. Now you can put it in the microwave. Now you can store it easily. So then all of a sudden it becomes a sale. It becomes a visual sale on TV. So that's just one little example of some of the things that we've done over the years with silicone. And, you know, we really took the silicone business at QVC for a ride. You know, we did a lot of very innovative things with a really interesting substance. And we still do. We still have a lot of products on QVC, whereas at retail, silicone doesn't really resonate as well because you can't tell the story. It does so many things, and you can't tell the story at retail. It's very difficult on a box. But it's we like to bring it to life at QVC, and we can show all the different things.
And with silicone, it's hard to tell the difference in a, even on a display, the difference between silicone and plastic.
Yeah, I mean, even the silicone tools, you know, a lot of very inexpensive tools that look like silicone are not, and you know, they actually melt. You know, silicone doesn't melt, so you'd have to get it pretty hot to get it to melt. So, you know, just little things like that, I think, has given silicone a bad name at retail because people have used very inexpensive processes to bring that stuff to the market in the mass. And I think when we get to tell the story on TV and show how strong it is and how diverse it is, I think people really appreciate it. So when looking at products, that's really what I'm doing now for QVC, just really looking at how can we turn this into a TV item? How can we give it a story and really get people to want to pick up the phone by just saying, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I would have never bought that before I saw this presentation. And that's what makes it fun.
And it's a visual appeal because, of course, television is a visual medium. But if somebody had a product for development and they were looking at the potential of using television as a way to market it, visual, obviously, is a big thing. What other things do they have to consider before they, let's say they want to pitch QVC or want to have an infomercial? What are other things, aspects of the product itself they would need to consider?
I think the biggest thing is the quality of the product and getting the proper testing done. It's very easy to, get a product or an idea together, but at the same time, you want to make sure that you don't, hold yourself liable to a product that's not tested properly for a mass market. Perhaps a product in a very small market, there's less chance of things going wrong because it's not mass produced. Once you start mass producing something, you need to make sure that it's really good quality, that you pass the FDA test, that you pass packaging testing, all these little things that can come around and really hurt you as an inventor or a company. And I think it's important to spend that extra money to take it to the labs and really have it run through the vigors of what a mass market can do to a product.
Some people will look at overseas vendors and think automatically one of two things. Either this is really going to be cheap, so I can bring a lot of it to market before anybody figures out how bad it is, or this is going to be great for drop shipping. But in what you do, you actually import the product itself, correct? Not you, but QVC or whoever you're selling it through.
Sometimes we do it ourselves, and sometimes it just depends on the brand. We work very differently with different people. But, I go to China a couple of times a year, sometimes more, work with the factories, work with their quality assurance people, work with their engineers, make sure that the product, if it collapses or something like the silicone bowls, I'll just keep going back to that same idea. We want to make sure that they can collapse 1,000 times, without ripping. Things like that. So when you do go overseas or if you make contact with an overseas vendor, you want to make sure that they're a quality one, and you want to make sure that the product is tested. I think at this point now with the internet, it's a little bit easier to get your product maybe mass produced overseas. The biggest problem is, the taking of the idea. A lot of times the factories will give away your ideas to other people. Very, very difficult to control that. So you have to be very careful with who you throw your ideas around to. A lot of times people want to send me their ideas, and they want me to help them with them. And it's not that I don't want to do it, but in a lot of cases, you want to make sure that they're protected, with a patent or a trademark before you even look at it. Because you show a product to a factory, and before you know it, 10 other factories are showing it to their potential buyers.
Correct. So having a non-disclosure agreement with any manufacturer that you're working with is key.
Yes. And, with the U.S. company, I think that NDA, a non-disclosure, works very well. With foreign factories, it is difficult to enforce those things. So you really need to carefully think it out and make sure you're as protected as possible, at least here in the United States.
Other than protection for your ideas, what are some of the other things that you've learned along the way that somebody just getting into maybe figuring out whether or not they can mass produce their product, what are some other things that you've learned along the way that might help somebody in that area?
Well, I think understanding the retailers that you want to go to is probably the hardest part of mass marketing a product. Every single retailer works in very different ways, and it can be really discouraging. And I think that's the hardest part for somebody who's just starting out that wants to get their product out there that doesn't have like a big backer, like one of the Shark Tank people or something like that. Someone who really has an in to how these retailers work. In a lot of cases, you need to buy the product yourself, make sure it's packaged in a way that your retailer will accept. And learning those things are probably the most valuable. Understanding how much product you would have to bring in if a retailer said that they were interested, And then you have to be able to figure out how to get the product to their each individual stores. So becoming an expert in one retailer can sometimes be very valuable to people instead of trying to get it in many, many retailers all at once. It's a bit overwhelming. And I always tell people that I think you should really try to focus on one retailer. If you're lucky enough to get a retailer to bite on a product, which is very difficult, I hate to say it, but it can be very, very difficult. But if you're lucky enough to get it, kind of stick with that one retailer, really understand their business and their business model. And I think that for me with QVC was the most valuable thing that I've learned over the years, is understanding the ins and outs of QVC in particular. And then, you know, we've branched out over the years to other retailers, but QVC is our go-to. We love working with QVC.
Well, and, you know, I always say you can't beat dealing with David Venable on anything. he's been on our show before, and I just love working with him. And with the other folks at QVC, Meredith and you and whatnot, you've all been great. Now, you have also been doing infomercials for other products, and some of those products have ended up on QVC. Are there products that you bring to market yourself that don't go to QVC?
Yes, we have some other retailers that we do business with other products other than the ones that we do on QVC. The infomercial business is something that I've always wanted to get into. I've tried, many times to get in there with product. But, you know, deep down inside, I always wanted to, you know, be an infomercial pitch guy. I don't know why. Even before I was on QVC, it's just something that I always wanted to do. So, through some hard work and some luck, I was working with a lot of these people behind the scenes on products, and that helped me break into that crazy business of infomercials. The products that I'm selling on infomercial right now are a joint effort. I do have a lot of say in the product and its features and what I hope the product to be and how I can help bring the product to life. So I do get to work with them on product development as well, which is how I kind of broke into that industry. I love doing infomercials. It's like one of my favorite things to do. So I'm really glad that I was able to break in. I was lucky enough to start with one infomercial, the Power Pressure Cooker XL, that just took off like crazy. And, from there, I got to do many more. And I have a lot more coming out in the next couple of months. So it's been a really interesting ride on the infomercial side of the business.
With infomercials, though, those products aren't necessarily in a store. So do you import those products, or do you have those drop shipped direct from the manufacturer?
Those products are the ones that I'm dealing with now. I'm contracted with TriStar. So TriStar imports the products themselves. So if QVC or Bed Bath & Beyond or Walmart is buying the infomercial products, it's all being imported by TriStar and then shipped or distributed to the other retailers. Of course, the infomercial companies do their own drop ship as well for the folks that call in, you know, on the infomercial phone number or buy it from the infomercial website, you know, whether it be the PowerPressureCookerXL.com or CopperChef.com or whatever it might be.
And for those who don't know much about drop shipping, what drop shipping is that you buy from a manufacturer or a distributor overseas, you take the orders here at your price, and then you pay for them, and the product is shipped directly to the person purchasing it, not to you. So
yeah, exactly.
For smaller people who want to go.
Sorry, it's a lot like eBay. I think eBay, and it's just so fun now with the internet, because you can have an idea. You could hook up with a factory through websites like Alibaba and places like that, You can find someone who maybe will make your products for you. You can buy it overseas and have it shipped to maybe your garage or a storage unit. You just need the company to help you with customs. And then you could sell your own product on eBay and start there, or create your own website and you could start selling your product there. And, you know, word of mouth sometimes is the best way to get started. We're working with a company right now. I tell everybody to check it out. It's called Derma 9. It's a facial product that is so cool. And they invented it themselves, husband and a wife. They have all the ingredients sourced in the United States, and they're doing amazing just by word of mouth. So for everybody out there listening, you know, you don't have to go to a giant retailer to start to have some success. You can actually source the product yourself locally, or, like I said, overseas through these websites that they have. They're easy to connect. You know, with a small investment, you can bring in your own products and then put them on your own website or on eBay. Now, what they did and what they did very effectively was they found bloggers like you, Lori. They sent the product to the blogger and asked them whether they liked it, and if they did, could they blog about it? And then these little homegrown businesses are popping up like wildfire. And when a blogger says they like it, it goes to another blogger picks it up. And before you know it, you know, maybe a giant blogger gets it and you're getting more sales than you can handle. So I think this is a great time for people to be entrepreneur and really bring their ideas to market like you've never been able to do before. 10 or 15 years ago, what they're doing now with their product, Derma 9, they could have never really done that 10 or 15 years ago. It would have been very difficult. So, you know, maybe a company like QVC is destined to pick that up because they got such good response from these bloggers. So it's a fun time to be an inventor or an entrepreneur, that's for sure.
Well, that's the thing about doing things like drop shipping, because you can use a company like Shopify or BigCommerce. They'll set you up. Even there's another, and I can't remember the name of the, it's similar to Alibaba or AliExpress, where they'll set
right.
your store for you. You just pick the products, they put it out there, and they'll post it on eBay and Amazon and your own store for you for less than $100 a month. You just set your prices and take care of it that way. And the system automatically will do all the purchasing, all the inventory control, and everything for you. And so it
yeah,
is
I'll
possible
tell you,
to have a little retail store without a lot of the headache.
That's right. And if you're savvy on the internet and get it in the hands of the right people, to possibly get some reviews out there, some bloggers with good followings, you'd be amazed. For free, you can get some of the best advertising you could ever hope for. And like I said, 15 years ago, forget about it. It would have been impossible to really pull some of this stuff off.
When you're looking specifically at other products other than what you've been working at, you're looking at the packaging, you're looking at everything. How much input did you have in the beginning compared to how much you have now?
Well, I think it's like anything. You know, the more you grow, the more input and the more sort of gravitas that you have. So I think, you know, when we first started doing product development and looking at products, you know, the factories will look at you in terms of how many orders you can bring them. So the more people you know, the more retailers, the larger orders that you can deliver to a factory, obviously, the more input that you're going to have. And then, of course, you know, the retailers like QVC, if they're looking for a product, sometimes they will go to the people that have been around the longest. to help them maybe find a product that, that they feel is missing in their assortment. And, you know, that's always a nice, it's always a good place to be in that place where the retailer is asking you. And that, that comes with time, time and putting in the hard yards of the minutiae, you know what I mean? Getting down and dirty with all of that minutiae stuff. And then, you know, like anything else, you just get bigger and better over the years.
One thing that, that I've heard time and again, and I want to ask you if you agree with this, the point about bringing a product to market is not what you think is cool, but what you see as a need in the marketplace.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. You know, I, like I said, I get a lot of people that flip me their ideas, and they, you know, it's hard because when somebody has an idea, it's very personal, and they feel that if their idea is great, everybody's going to love it, you know, because they think it's great. I always tell this story. There's an inventor that I respect incredibly, and I was pitching him this idea that I thought was the most amazing idea in the world. This is like, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago. And I was so passionate about it, and I was asking for his help. And he kind of poo-pooed it. He said, you know, I've seen that before. And I was like, no. You know, this is my idea, you know. No one's come up with this before. And he said to me, he's like, Eric, 5 billion minds in the world. What makes you think you're the first person to think of this? You know? And it was a little humbling, but, you know, he'd been around for a long time, and he'd seen this idea come and go. So, you know, I think that when, like I said, when you have an idea, you feel it's personal, and you're sure that it's the best idea in the world. You just have to have a thick skin, and understand that the idea has either been tried or someone else has thought of it, and it's not always the best idea. But it's a start, and you know, you have to have an idea to get going in this business. And you know, I've seen a lot of ideas that I did not like personally that worked out very well for people. So you have to have you know, that burning desire in your heart to take it to task on your own. And you know, there's going to be people like me who either love it or don't like it, and you have to say to yourself, well, I believe in this item, and I'm going to take it forward. So it's a tough question to answer. I just think that you need to do all the research that you possibly can, and thankfully the internet is out there. There's so many different ways to look up products to see if they're out there. And, you know, you just have to hope that you just spark that little need in the marketplace that you said, and, you know, it'll catch fire with somebody. It's amazing. I love these shows like Shark Tank, and you know, because these people really are pitching their idea to you know, people that can take their items to another level. And when you watch, you'll see a panel of these four or five people that are very knowledgeable in the business, like Lori Grenier, and you know, you see her say, "Now I'm out," you know, and you feel bad for these people, but that's how it goes in this business. You have to be ready to hear people say, this is not a great idea, and, you know, you should really think about trying to come up with something else. It's hard, but it's true. And believe me, I have 100 ideas that I thought were amazing that either nobody wanted, nobody cared about, or tried, and they failed. So my skin is like stone at this point.
It's all perseverance. Thank you so much, Eric. If somebody wants to find you, where are you on the internet?
Well, you can get me at Eric Thies TV on Facebook. That's probably the easiest way to get me. You can get me through ericthies.com. Fusion Life Brands, I have the Copper Chef, Power Pressure Cooker XL. There's a lot of ways to find me. It's pretty easy. But probably Eric
Well, yeah,
TV
and
on
stand
Facebook
on QVC once
way.
You're up and running.
Yeah, that's right. That's
Thank
right.
you again, Eric. Well, you'll be up sooner than later.
Thanks a
lot,
Lori.
Thank you again, Eric. I really appreciate it. And we will be back next week. We've got a really great show next week with Tommy Landry, who is an SEO specialist. He'll be talking about how to get your company noticed and what the difference is between keywords and SEO, because there is a big difference, and we'll be talking about that next week. Thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm Lori Leiker. Thank you so much.